There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is my opinion, and I'm going to seek my approval. Do I approve of me?
Love doesn't have any expectations. It doesn't seek something in return. It gives because it wants to.
At our core, all of us have these feelings of being unlovable and inadequate. And until we start to care for those parts of ourselves, we can't really have the outer successes that we long for.
Does money buy you intuition, insight, creativity, higher vision, transcendence? No. Money does buy you pleasure, and pleasure is good, but it's not enough. We need fulfillment.
Welcome to the Unwind Podcast, a show to help you pause, relax, reflect, and be curious. I'm your host, Poppy Jamie, a best-selling author and entrepreneur exploring the human experience. I interview world-leading thinkers, shaping ideas around the mind, health, spirituality, philosophy, and culture. I'm often reminded that thoughts become things, so we need to choose the good ones. I hope this show helps you to do that too. Today's podcast is with Emma Cannon, a best-selling author, speaker, mentor, acupuncturist, mystic, and mother, who I'm sad to say passed away a few weeks after I recorded this conversation. I was put in touch with Emma because of her work on fertility, and she's written many books on the subject and is an absolute expert in helping women prepare their bodies to conceive and deliver babies. When we were trying to organize the interview, I found out she had cancer, so couldn't travel far for it. So we arranged the interview to be done at her house. And when I arrived, I knew this house was magical. In an instant, I knew Emma wasn't just a women's health expert, but she had an ability far beyond the human realm. Rather than focus my interview entirely on fertility advice, which I thought maybe I was going to, I decided, no, this interview required a much, much more broad approach. I wanted to ask her questions about life. I wanted to ask her about her philosophy towards life and what she'd learned over the years helping so many couples and, of course, now undergoing years of chemo. Cancer, as they say, is the greatest teacher. Around a similar time to interviewing Emma, my fascination into the history of witches had grown, and so I asked Emma, just randomly, whether she was a witch or what her thoughts on about that. She smiled and said, "I am indeed." Of course, I thought, she spent a lifetime helping men and women find peace, helping new souls enter this earthly plane. Her spiritual depth and reflection had to be from someone who experienced the world through a magical lens. I hope you enjoy this interview with the amazing, mystical, and quite terrific Emma Cannon. My heart and love is with her family, and many thanks to them for encouraging me to still release this interview after her passing. Emma, you magical being, I'm so pleased our conversation is finally out with the world. What's a quote you return to often and why?
"To thine own self be true." And it's something that my father taught me. And for me, it's like that inner knowing of, yes, you can gather knowledge, and that's really important at stages in our life, you can gather knowledge. But at some point, you have to really integrate that and trust yourself. What I often do is I watch people go through that process of gathering. And then at some point, they really settle into who they are and trust themselves.
That is so powerful, because I feel that recently I've had conversations with friends
who in some ways were kind of addicted to astrology. They had to check the chart before they would make a decision. And I feel like this quote is so resonant to that, when maybe you don't need to check your chart, you need to just check yourself.
Yeah, for sure. One of the themes that I've been working on for the last couple of years, and I created a pack of cards and I through a mentorship that I ran with women, was you are the medicine. So it's really about finding the medicine within yourself and bringing that to the world. And even me, after all these years, you know, sometimes I find myself looking externally for stuff and I think, don't ask people who haven't been where you've been or know where you're going for directions.
It's so true. I feel that I am a huge culprit of that. It's the, and I don't know why we have such a lack of confidence in our own decisions, but I will often call four friends just to ask them what they think, have to share the situation and expect that they know the answer more than I would.
Yeah.
How do you think we teach children to have a greater sense of inner authority?
Of course, when we're growing up, it's important that you do go to others for counsel. And, you know, throughout my life, I've had incredible advisors and mentors and people who have really taught me the part of the path. No one can teach you the whole path, but show me part of the path. And so I think that that is important. But I don't know. I mean, I always say to my children, you know, if they say, I don't know whether to do this or that, you know, and often say, wake up in the morning, really feel into yourself, whatever it is that comes and gives you the excitement or even the fear, you know, do that thing. I mean, my dad always used to say to me, I'm probably going to talk about my dad a lot because it was 40 years dead yesterday. So as he's very much on my mind. And he was a thought pioneer for sure. He was a general in the army and he led his men with compassion. And he died way too young, but they all absolutely adored him. But he would always say, you know, listen to yourself. And, you know, if you can't find the magic outside, be the magic.
Oh, God, yeah. I love that. What's a life lesson you've been reminded of recently and why?
Man plans, God laughs. I think that's a big one for modern day couples. I think that really plays a huge piece in the fertility story. You know, how that we have our plan, we have our wedding and, you know, it's all planned out and everything is within our control. And then suddenly this wild and crazy thing called our fertility doesn't work out how we think it's going to work out. And that's, I think, where a lot of the problems lie, especially in this generation who aren't really used to failure. They're used to working really hard and getting what they want. And if they do everything right, then they will get what it is that they want. And sometimes that's true and sometimes that isn't.
I feel that and I hear that and I see that everywhere, that kind of belief that if you just tick the boxes, you go through the hoops, you do life when you're supposed to do life, then of course things will happen when they're supposed to happen. And when the plan gets diverted, it can be the greatest shock and cause almost the greatest kind of mental health struggles because we just don't understand why life isn't working out how we want it to work out.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of practices or how do you kind of resolve being less fixated on life going perfectly to plan?
I mean, I usually find myself muttering to myself saying, just surrender, just surrender. And people think that surrendering is giving up. It isn't. It is so far from giving up. It's actually really brave, you know, to sit there and say, I just surrender. And I mean, I had it the last couple of weeks, it came up. I don't know what's happening in the planets or whatever, but, you know, it was really coming up for me. And I just started saying, trust your life, you know, trust what's showing up. So instead of trying to force our life into the way that we want it to be, it's to trust that whatever is shown up, however difficult, is what we're meant to be working through, because life at the end of the day is about maturing and growing. So there will be challenges. I would say to my medicine women, you're a witch. There will be pain.
I actually noticed you wrote something saying in one of your medicine women circles, yeah, you said, I want you to get to a place where you actually want triggers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I thought, what? Why would we want a trigger? But what do you mean by that?
Because I think, you know, when we're triggered by something, it's an opportunity, it's a portal. It's a portal into ourselves. And I actually did some training with Gabor several years ago, Gabor Mate. And he will use a trigger to open a doorway. And he'll use that once the doorway is open, that's a neural pathway. And then you can go in and unravel and get to the origin of that pain. You know, so if you have a friend that keeps annoying you or, you know, prodding you, it's usually because she's there to be part of your growth. So instead of saying, oh, she's this or that, just say, why do I feel this? Why am I reacting in this way? I have a little process, which is, where do I feel this in the body? What are the emotions? What have I made it mean? And when did I feel this before? And that's my kind of process.
God, that's good. What have I made it mean?
Yeah, I know.
Wow, powerful. I feel that everyone listening, including me right now, my brain is going to all the things that have triggered me in the past, applying those questions towards it.
But what have I made it mean is a hugely powerful question, because I can be in clinic with somebody and they say, you know, the plan was to have three IUIs and then IVF, and they fail one IUI and then they're devastated. And then I will often ask, what have you made this mean? And I promise you, the list is so harsh and so ridiculous, you know, and I just say, write them all down, get a red pen, strike them off one by one. If there's one left, we can work with that.
What are some of the worst things that you've heard that people have made struggles with fertility mean?
Oh, I mean, the typical one is that I'm not a real woman.
Gosh. And to move into that, you are a fertility intuitive. What does that mean?
I mean, it's very difficult to know what we call ourselves, and it's changed over time in a way. My background was really Chinese medicine. But then over the time, I realized that I was getting messages and words, and I see things in statements sometimes. So I'm very wordy. So I'll be with someone and a sentence will just drop in. And I think for years and years, I just ignored it or just carried on asking my questions. And then I thought, now I'm going to start paying attention. And so then I really started paying attention to the minutiae, to the stuff that wasn't being said, but that was coming through me. That's why I think intuitive, because I do have a massive clinical background, but I realized that on top of that was this layer of intuition. And I think that what actually working with people over a long period of time gives you.
Since you began in working and supporting women with their fertility journeys, what have you noticed change over the years? Are you seeing more women or less women, or have the struggles changed at all?
Well, I'm so different. When I started out, you know, I think I was telling women that drinking a bottle of Chardonnay and eating a packet of Haribos after work wasn't a particularly fertile activity. And now, of course, everyone's so clued up, but sometimes they have more information than me. But information isn't wisdom. It is almost the opposite. So I find that the modern day woman comes with all of this stuff that she should be doing, that she is doing it, and if she's not doing it, you know, she feels guilty about it. And I mean, that one of my things with wellness, the negative side of wellness, is if I do everything right, I will get what I want. And then if you don't get what you want, again, it's what do you make that mean? You make it mean that there's something wrong with me. And that isn't necessarily the truth. So I think there's a lot more comparison in society. I think women compare themselves a lot more with one another because of social media, obviously. So there's that pressure. I think there's more financial pressure. I think when I had children 27 years ago, there wasn't so much financial pressure, but we didn't have such a big expectation. I didn't have my nails painted. I didn't go on holiday. You know, we were poor. We were really poor. So I didn't have this expectation of this big life and children. I'm not saying that's not possible. It's just it comes at a cost because you've got to work bloody hard to keep that going.
If someone is struggling with fertility, going back to just leaning into kind of wisdom around fertility, how do you encourage people to move into a more psychologically safe place for fertility or physically more physical optimum place for fertility? What are your thoughts on actually what women can be doing?
I mean, again, it's maybe not a doing thing, it's a being thing. Mm. And I think that, again, is that we're Melissa.
I literally have just made the mistake that every single woman, like, what can we do? What vitamin can we? Emma, tell me the vitamin. You know, it's true. I've just done exactly.
That just shows how didn't fall into it.
Yeah, it just shows how deep this conditioning is. It's like, shows the way. So I guess thinking about that, what is the difference between doing fertility and being fertility, if that even makes sense?
It does make sense. It's a beautiful question. And it's very, very layered. I mean, I did it myself and I thought this is a really fertile activity. I had all these things that I should be doing. I had all these diets, these cancer diets people had given me. I even had a bedtime routine. I was supposed to scrape my tongue and wash it with something or other. And I was just like, what do these things actually, how do these make me feel? They make me feel guilty. Mm. So that to me is not a fertile activity. Mm. You know, if something makes you feel guilty, bin it, you know? It's really about trusting, which is huge, I know. And none of the stuff I'm going to say is easy. It's very simple, but it's not easy. Do I think food's important? Yes, but I don't think it has to be as intricately designed as people think. Do I think vitamins are helpful? Yeah, I think the odd vitamin is helpful. If it's taking you half an hour to take your vitamins, it's probably not a particularly good idea. And you're probably not feeling that good about it. Mm. But if you're taking them and feeling really good about it, then that's okay. It's the same about wine. I think people, what they do is they strip everything out of their life that gives them any kind of enjoyment. And then they expect to make a baby from that place. No, make a baby from a place of joy. And what I always say to people who have been on a long and difficult journey is to actually just for a period of time, forget about the how you're going to do it, how this baby's going to be born, and just get back to the why. You know, what is it that you love about your partner? Why do you want to bring this baby into the world? What do you want to see more of in the world? Because as soon as you connect to the why, then you're coming from your heart space. And then automatically your body is putting out the right pheromones. It's not in fight or flight. It's not thinking, oh, I didn't do my tongue scraping last night. You know, I'm a bad person. You know, it's letting go of that stuff. And, you know, I have to put a caveat in here and say, I know people have got serious, very difficult medical conditions as well that, of course, need treating. This isn't in replacement of that. It's just generally people more when they get started, they get wrapped up in this how, and they really lose sight of the why.
You talk about pillars of fertility. Would you mind sharing more on that?
So because I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner, I really like to take the five element model and sort of modernize it a bit And that's what most of my work has been built around. My books talk about these five pillars, and the cards that I made, they're the five elements. It all really comes from that. So we have the water element, which is the winter, and that's the seed, that's the moving inwards and learning more about ourselves and being quiet and contemplative. And what happened to all of us in lockdown, I think we had sort of two winters where we had to just sort of move into ourselves. And then we have the spring, and the spring is when everything comes up, and that's the wood element, and that's all about flexibility. It's having a plan but being flexible with it. And it's fine to have a plan as long as when things don't go your way, you have that flexibility of movement and you're able to adapt to the conditions that you're presented with rather than forcing your will. And I think that's really important for modern couples, because I think a lot, wood comes up a lot in clinic. You know, it's like, this is my plan, I know where I want to go. And the plan gets thwarted and then you get frustrated and then it becomes difficult. Then we have the fire element, which is about creativity. And that's really connecting to our heart energy, our community, getting support from our community and from one another. And then we have earth, which is the late summer. It's sort of harvest time. It's very much the mother energy, the earth. It's about reciprocity. So it's about giving our energy, but not too much. And that any system, we shouldn't have to give more than we get back. So, you know, for example, look at your working situation. You know, are you selling your soul for people who don't really, at the end of the day, care whether you have a baby or not? You know, and I often say to people, you have to put yourself first because no one else is going to. And then there is the metal element, which I kind of love, because the metal element is quite cosmic. It's about rituals and ceremonies. So what are the rituals and ceremonies that you have in your life, and how can you bring those back into your life? And I think a lot of people are doing that. And I think that is very, very helpful. You know, to do something every day that focuses the mind but is calming, so that your mind doesn't go out of control, because a lot of the problems, I'm sure, as everyone will identify with, is our minds. You know, our minds go out of control. And most of the time, it is our mind that's the problem.
Now I'd love to move into discussing something that you've mentioned a couple of times, and I am just so fascinated and intrigued, and I just want to like envelope myself in this world because it feels so like lovely and warm, which is witchcraft. I'm guessing you do refer to yourself as a witch.
Yeah, I mean, not on my CV or, you know, but yes, I would say that I'm a witch, yeah.
And what do you think being a witch means? Because I feel that there is so much confusion around it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not part of any clan, or, you know, apart from my family clan, Five Women of Witches. But it's just a personal place that I find myself. It's been a very long lifetime process. You know, I was a sensitive child. I was a magical child. You know, I would see things in nature. I was very connected to nature. You know, like many children, you know, I'd sit and play fairies in the grass, and, you know, the grass would be their home. And, you know, so I was very connected to nature in that way. And then I went through a period in my life where I was completely lost. I wasn't someone that excelled at school necessarily, but I was always very intuitive and always very the one that people talk to. I think I've always been developing it. I think as well, because I grew up in a house full of women as well, it was sort of quite a natural thing. My dad used to refer to us all as witches and jokingly, but, you know, in a way he was right. And then I started hearing sentences. So I think my skill, my witchery is perception. I think it's interesting that I studied acupuncture actually because, you know, with that you're putting a needle right into the very heart of what needs to be healed. And I do that with my words as well. So I'm quite often can cut through all of the outer layers of stuff and get to the heart of the matter, which is quite alarming for people. Sometimes I have to kind of go a bit slowly because sometimes it can be quite affronting because people aren't really ready to hear it so frankly. But for me, it comes through words. And also I was saying to you earlier, people think that fertility is a lovely, cuddly job and all about birth and babies being born. But there is as much darkness and as there is light, like in anything in life. And I think that's something that we've forgotten. We've just got so attracted to the light that we're really shocked when the darkness shows up. So part of my skill is being able to sit with women in those really painful moments when other people will say, you know, it'll be fine, at least you can get pregnant. You know, I would say, where do you feel it in the body? When did you feel this before? What have you made it mean? You know, when people say, oh, it's just not meant to be, I'll sit there and not try and run away. Because when people say those things, often it's because those people haven't given themselves compassion when they've had things go wrong in their life. So it's to give, first of all, give yourself compassion, but also extend that compassion to someone else.
I know you said that when you were little, you were really sensitive, and then you kind of, even in clinic, you would have these words that would come to you, and then I'm sure at times you wouldn't voice them because you had a set way of doing it, you know, according to maybe how you learn acupuncture. But you naturally have probably nurtured this power that you've had forever. But have you ever been somewhat scared of it? Because, you know, to be so perceptive about life brings up a lot of truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I really wish I didn't see things so clearly. A lot of the time I don't really think I'm here. I think I spend a lot of the time somewhere else because to be here can be quite painful. And that has become more of a truth as I've got older, because as I've got older, the veil thins and the veil to the other side. And I definitely have the ability to be in both places, which has probably been enhanced through my work with bringing souls to this earth and helping souls to pass over. So yes, it can be really painful at times, and I definitely like escaping.
I can imagine. Can you feel the soul when it's arriving? And also, do you subscribe to the belief that every soul chooses its parent?
Yeah, I do believe that. And I also believe, for anyone out there that's doing, you know, egg donation or sperm donation or whatever, I think that the body is just a vessel. And the egg is just an egg, and the sperm is just a sperm, and the body is what's going to hold it. But that isn't everything, you know, that isn't everything. Sometimes babies come when you would least expect them. And often people will say to me, you know, they've moved on and they've adopted, and they're like, after everything I went through, this makes perfect sense.
As you know, I'm a huge advocate for natural ways to optimize health. Nature is full of medicine if we care to find it. So this led me recently to discover Karma Ayurveda, a skincare and hair care brand that now holds a special place in my heart. Originating from India, it's been around for 20 incredible years, crafting holistic, natural products rooted in Ayurvedic wisdom. One of my personal favorites is their Kum Kamadi range, enriched with saffron. Not only does it smell divine, but it also works wonders on the skin, giving you that real, I think I've just slept for 10 hours glow, which, let's be honest, we all want. In exciting news, Karma Ayurveda has just arrived in the UK, opening a stunning store in Notting Hill. Here you can explore their range of Ayurvedic treatments and even meet with an Ayurvedic doctor for personalized advice. I recently went this morning to meet a doctor and it was incredible. She checked my pulse and after a few minutes, she was able to tell me everything that I have been struggling with, even though I didn't mention a thing to her. She was able to tell through checking my pulse how my digestion was, and she gave me some incredible advice to help soothe that. And she was also able to tell that my skin was dry. Honestly, it was an incredible experience that I highly recommend if you're in the London area. But if you're not, then you can still tap into the secrets of Ayurveda and tap into that harmony that you can find using Karma Ayurveda's products. Do visit their website at karmaayurveda.com to discover more.
What are your thoughts on reincarnation?
Well, I think that we live many lifetimes. I hope we live many lifetimes. I would rather believe in that than to believe that we just go into the ground, you know.
Agreed. Agreed. So. I mean, I totally subscribe to it. You talk about magic.
Yeah.
What do you understand as magic?
Gosh, well, for me, it can be, you know, the way the light falls through the window on a leaf, or it could be, you know, that awe and wonder that you see in the world. It's the coincidences that my husband will say, well, it's just a coincidence. And I'm like, no, it's a magical sign. And the more you practice it, the more you see it. And now I just laugh. I mean, you know, like, you know, when those crazy things happen and you think that's so mad that that would happen. I've almost got to the stage where I'm like, yeah, that's just normal.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, gosh. I remember, it was a long time ago now, but this is when I really first felt it really strongly. You can travel all the way across the world. I knew someone I knew was in LA, and I was going to LA. I didn't have their numbers. I think it was even before mobile phones. And I just thought, I really want to see this person. I'm really connected in my heart, I guess, into that frequency of that person. The first bar I went into there, and the first person I saw was that person. It was like we were magically drawn together. And that's happened over and over in my life, the people I meet. My mum always used to say to me, there's only 500 people in the world in your little soul groups, you know, and you get attracted to one another over and over with each lifetime.
I totally agree with that. And I love that idea of soul groups. Mm. Just for kind of people who are interested in soul groups, how do you know someone's part of your soul group?
I mean, there's knowing and feeling, isn't there? For me, it's a feeling of familiarity. It's that, do we know each other? The ease in which things happen. And for sure, we have people in our life that are there to help us grow. And often that's your nearest and dearest that challenge you the most, and they may be in your soul group or not, I guess. But I think for me, it's that feeling of familiarity and maybe safety, which is a really, really important aspect of fertility, actually. I think one of the most important things for me with fertility is helping people to feel internally safe. Mm. So that they are pumping out the right pheromones. So I think when you're with someone in your soul family, you'll often get that feeling.
I guess this moves me on to you being, you know, spent so many years in the world of frequency medicine. How do you kind of explain that to someone who would not be familiar with the term frequency medicine?
Well, frequency medicine, called that, under that name, is become really popular, probably because of the likes of Joe Dispenza, who teaches meditation, and he talks a lot about the frequencies. Also, the sort of big money manifestors as well. You know, they're all very into this frequency medicine and how our own frequency and what we put out will attract the similar frequency. It's not a new science. It's been going for a long, long time. It's just really had a resurgence again. And the great thing about it is that now we can measure it. So it's really modern, but it's also really old.
Mm.
Because if you think about it in terms of qi, energy in Chinese medicine, in a way, I've been working with frequency for years. So in Chinese medicine, for those that don't know, what you're doing is you're working with the qi of the body, so the energy of the body. The simplest way to understand energy is everything has energy in them. The plant has energy in them. Energy is what you might feel from someone as they walk in the door. You know, do I get a good feeling or not a good feeling from that person? That's the simplest way to understand it. But it's very ancient. And also the ancients knew that when we meditate together, that you create a similar frequency. I guess in a way, you know, some religion is based on that because a lot of people gather together, emitting the same energy.
Yeah.
I guess that's how the pyramids were built, through various frequencies. I think it's something that the ancients knew how to harness a whole lot better than we do.
Yes, I feel like we are all slightly energetically combobulated at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What are the main things that you observe in people that are affecting their energy, probably without even them realizing? And I guess, you know, to add to this, one of my observations, having, I spent a lot of time thinking about this mental health crisis that we're in, I'm beginning to wonder whether we're looking right when we should be looking left.
Uh-huh.
We're saying it's mental health when actually it's an energetic crisis.
Many, many layers to this, but let's go to the basics of it, which is the earth. You know the earth is in crisis.
Mm.
We're not living in a reciprocal way with our planet.
Mm.
If we were, then there would be a reciprocity. There would be an energy that was created that supported us. But there isn't, because we consume too much. We travel across the world in jets and we consume more than we give.
Mm.
And so there's a deficit of energy available to us. So I think that's at the very basic of it. We don't live in alignment with nature anymore. And actually nature is there to support us if we don't take too much. So I think we're dealing with that. I think we're exhausted, our energy is exhausted. The amount of hours we have to work, the environment in which, you know, we have to work. I mean, I have some American clients from New York and they come back and say, oh, it's just so chilled in London. And, you know, and I'm like, really? You know, people are more sensitive than they realize. They don't know how to protect their energy. So most of the time they're just putting their energy out and they're not recuperating properly. So they're not recuperating from illness properly.
Mm.
If they have a cold, they're taking pills to suppress it so they can go back to work. Women don't recover from miscarriages emotionally or physically. I mean, there's just so many ways in which our energy is depleted. But I know for sure that our biofield, so our energetic field around us, is either shrunk or it's very damaged.
Mm.
For me, the biofield, and just very simply put, for people who don't know what it is, it's just an energetic field around us. So
it has been scientifically measured.
100%, yeah. And because there isn't a pill or an operation for it, it's sort of been a bit ignored. But I have my crystal bed and I lie under my crystal bed and my crystal bed expands my energetic field. So I do a lot to protect my energetic field, to expand my energetic field. Because I think that biofield is, it's our feeling, sensing with the world, so our intuition. But it's also, that's what makes us know if something's coming towards us that's friend or foe. But it's also, it's a protective layer. And I think that's probably shrunk a lot. So we're much more affected by our environment.
And I think this is an interesting point to kind of ask you why you think witchcraft has grown so much. There are supposedly more witches today than there ever was before. Wicca is the fastest growing religion in the world. Why do you think that is?
Because I think we're in crisis. You know, I think we're at a tipping point. And I think anyone born at this time is a brave soul because I think this, we're being hugely tested at the moment. I mean, I've seen the biggest shift, biggest, fastest shift in people and people's mentality through that whole COVID experience. And you can think of COVID as a virus, or you could think of it as something that came to show us something, to teach us something. Mm. I mean, what else kind of locks you in your house for, you know, it's crazy when we think about that. And what happened to us when we were locked in there? Yes, the mental health crisis, if that's what we want to call it, came from that, but also a huge acceleration of people's connection to their inner wisdom and not always looking at outside sources, because it became a bit untrust, you know, for many, because there was so much ambiguity around it. And it was demonstrated to us that science, for example, science says it's the truth, it's the one truth. But we were shown that actually science disagrees with itself all the time. You know, that's a very important lesson for us to learn. That's not that, that we then reject science. Science is hugely important. Mm. But science is a teenager. Mm. You know, science is a teenager. And the witch is the old wise wisdom. If you want to listen to the teenager for your advice, listen to the teenager. Or do you want to listen to the witch, the one that knows, the one that feels, the one that can see between?
I feel that your belief and your kind of sense of the world and inner power must have been really kind of needed in the last few years, because you have undergone quite significant cancer treatment. Mm. Where were you most tested in this process, if you don't mind answering that?
No.
And the life lessons that arose through all of that?
It's a really good question. I know exactly where I was most tested. For me, it was the, you're a practitioner, you're supposed to know all about this stuff. How come you know, you got ill? It's a sort of shame about it, really. It feels like a weakness, you know, somehow. But actually, if you look back, it's often the witches that get tested to the absolute nth degree, because it's through that that they can access their really deep wisdom. So my body, it has been battered, but through that, my intuition and my inner knowing and my seeing has become razor sharp. I mean, at one point, I developed double vision. I mentioned to you that I knew a death walker. Well, my first interaction with her wasn't as a death walker. She was just going to read my cards. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know anything about me. I hadn't talked about that on social media. And this was just over text. And she said, "What's wrong with your left eye? It's a bit funky." And I said, "I had a tumor in my head and I've got to have radiotherapy. And I've developed this weird double vision." And she said, "No, you can see both sides." She said, "You have the ability to see both sides." And it was exactly how I'd been feeling, but I couldn't articulate it. And she just saw it somehow through the airways. And to hear that was such a great comfort to me, because suddenly it became a superpower and not a weakness. And it was weird. My eye was going off in another day. I looked like a weird witch. It was quite incredible.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Why do you think cancer exists? Because it affects every single person. One in two, I think, you know, will develop it at some point.
I think we're the canaries in the coal mine, you know. The canary in the coal mine was, for those that don't know, it's a man that used to work in the coal mines would have a canary in a cage with them. And if the canary died, they knew they had to get out of there because the environment wasn't safe. I think we're demonstrating that our environment is no longer safe, you know, and our cells are changing really quickly to try and adapt to that. Mm. And I think that cancer, and probably fertility as well, and autoimmune And a lot of the diseases that we're suffering from now are to do with our environment.
If you could sit down with all young women, what would be your words of wisdom that you would want to share?
Be compassionate with yourself. You know, be kind. Because I think we're so hard on ourselves. And just from the many years of asking women to write the list of, you know, what have you made that mean? Women are so hard on themselves. And I dare say men are becoming more like that as well.
Yeah.
But I think traditionally, you know, men wouldn't think, what's wrong with me, necessarily. But I think women often think they're not enough. There's something wrong with them. And most of that is just conditioning from our childhood by a generation that weren't very conscious. They did what they, you know, could. My mum, she's war baby, you know, wartime child.
Yeah.
They had a different, their consciousness was in a different place. So I think that because we're going through such a huge shift, we're doing a lot. We're really doing a lot. Being here, being alive at this time is a lot. So be kind.
My last questions are really based on, there's been a rise in kind of manifestation, and that's obviously been linked to kind of witchcraft, like back in the day, you know, witches would be able to kind of manifest happenings for good or bad and spells. What are your thoughts on that in 2024?
Well, I think that's happening again, isn't it? We have a huge growth in manifestation through frequency and things like that. So, and through our intention, you know, I think we really learn how important our intention is for attracting what it is that we want in our life. And actually, it's one of the first things you learn when you go to acupuncture school, which, by the way, is a bit like going to Hogwarts. You do learn your intention. Practically week one, I would say. So it's really about, you know, what are you trying to achieve? If you're just sticking needles in, you know, you're not going to achieve anything. What is your intention? And it's a really beautiful practice because it keeps you very much focused. When I do acupuncture, there's nothing else going on in the world except for the intention of putting the needle in that person and eliciting a change. So that's one of my ways that I would manifest through being able to manipulate energy. So I don't know about hocus pocus, but I think a lot of it is about intention.
And I guess probably that's my last question, which is, what is it about acupuncture that can support fertility?
Well, we know that it increases blood flow to the uterus. We know that it can affect the hypothalamus, which regulates hormones. So that's kind of, from a Western medicine, very simply, it does lots of other things. However, I think the whole ritual of acupuncture is extremely powerful. You talk to somebody, often face-to-face, as we're doing, very powerful. You listen with a certain focus. You look at things like, how does that relate to that? So people will go to a doctor and one of their complaints is, you know, I always felt that this was connected to that. And they'll just say, no, they're not connected. And you think, well, I'm really sure they are connected, you know. Whereas in Chinese medicine, that's really important, those things. So often people feel really heard and really understood. So then you create safety. The level of diagnosis is very individual. So you could have 10 people come in with endometriosis and they'd all get very different Chinese medicine diagnosis. And then you take the pulse, you look at the tongue, so that's all quite mysterious in a way. And then you lie down in a very... almost, it's very sacrificial. And then you have to surrender because someone's putting needles in you. I mean, you can choose to fight it, but it's sort of pointless. So then you surrender. And as we talked about before, there's so much power in that surrendering, that letting go. I mean, I personally think it's very good to communicate. A lot of complaints I get about acupuncturists is that they put the needles in and the person doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm.
I think it's really important to empower it with words as well, to say that, you know, I'm putting these needles in which improve the blood flow to the uterus. You know, so there's an imagery there for people. I think that's really important. One of our greatest writers and advocates is a guy called Ted Ketchum. He wrote The Web That Has No Weaver. It's the first Chinese medicine book that I read. And he says it's possible that acupuncture is just one of the greatest placebos that exist. But it doesn't mean it's not important.
Right. It all just speaks to really what you've shared in this interview, is the power of the mind and what we can do to harness that to support us rather than be of detriment. And on that note, just thank you so much for this amazing, magical interview that has, you know, you shared so much, so I couldn't be more grateful.
Oh, so thank you so much for having me. It's really important for me to get these messages out into the world and to try and normalize it, you know, that it's not weird and wacky, that actually it's really important in our day-to-day life to remember those things.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed today, please hit subscribe and leave a comment, because this helps the podcast so much. I'd be endlessly grateful if you wouldn't mind doing so. My mental health book, Happy Not Perfect, is available to order now. The book teaches you how to be a flexible thinker, a skill that helps you navigate any challenge that might come your way, helps you manage emotions, and helps you thrive to be the bendiest version of yourself. Until next time, I love hearing from you, so do shoot me a message on Instagram, send me a DM with any of your thoughts. Stay safe and well.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.